Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we move along in our study of the main body of the third epistle of John. The main body begins in verse 5. You may recall that in the introduction of verses 1 through 4, the author of this epistle identified himself as the elder, and we have learned from previous studies that that refers to the Apostle John. And he identifies the recipient of this epistle as a Christian man by the name of Gaius. And he expresses great joy at the commitment which Gaius has to the truth of God's Word. He assures Gaius of his prayers for his prosperity in all areas of life, based upon his testimony of obedience to truth. And so in his main body, in the main body, the Apostle John begins by commending Gaius for his gospel labors and encouraging him to continue as he began. And here we find some guidelines for Christian participation in the work of the gospel. For Gaius was obviously a man who supported the work of the gospel. And so we see, first of all, an encouraging commendation, addressed to a beloved brother, addressed to a faithful Christian, and in response to a favorable report. Listen to it. Verse 5, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well." Well, that's how the main body begins, and we'll look at it more closely after I welcome you to this Monday, July 8 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts support us sufficiently to continue teaching God's Word on this station. An encouraging commendation addressed to a beloved brother. Beloved, he says, beloved. Three times in five verses, John uses that term. Gaius is obviously especially beloved to him. His life and testimony were such that he strengthened John's love for him. I'm sure that the Apostle John loved all of God's people. In fact, I'm sure the Apostle John, who's known as the Apostle of Love, loved all people, whether they were God's people or not, though not all with the same degree and level of love. But Gaius is one of those Christians that drew out the love of God, or the love of John, rather, for him in a very special way. And so he addresses him as a beloved brother. But even better, I suppose, in some ways, and it's wonderful to be loved by other Christians, wonderful to be loved by an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, though far better to be loved by God himself. But of course, we know that if we are in Christ, we are loved by him with an everlasting love. But he addresses this man, Gaius, as a faithful Christian. Beloved, you do faithfully. Present tense. You are doing faithfully. Established practice. He's talking about a man who is exemplary in his faithfulness in Christian walk and work. You are doing faithfully. And what is faithfulness? And that is the highest commendation. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, said Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. A steward is one who has been entrusted with an important responsibility. And in a real sense, in a biblical sense, every Christian is a steward given an important responsibility by God. Surely you would not dispute that. Every Christian is a steward who has been entrusted with an important responsibility by God. Paul considered himself to be a steward, and he said, the greatest requirement, the greatest commendation, the greatest quality for a steward is that he be faithful, not that he be flashy, not that he be considered successful by the world, but that he be faithful, because if he is faithful, he will be successful in the eyes of God. And after all, if you are God's steward, then the only evaluation that matters is the one that is engaged in by God himself. What difference does it make, really, how others evaluate you? Some of the choicest servants of God I know are serving God in little out-of-the-way places and are not well known in this world. They're not well known by very many Christians. I am amazed. I'm thinking about some of the pastors I know. I remember, several come to mind, but I'll just concentrate on one in my mind's eye as I try to describe the situation. I can remember when I first met this pastor a number of years ago. Very common, ordinary-looking man, a pretty common, ordinary sounding man as I conversed with him and began to get to know him for the first time. And I found out that he pastors a very small church in a very remote area. I forget now what size his congregation is, but it's not more than about 30 or 40 people. That would not be impressive in this world. That's not very impressive to most Christians. And I must say that my first impression of him was that he is a faithful brother and is an ordinary brother. And you know what I mean by ordinary. I consider that he probably didn't have any outstanding gifts, but he was a faithful brother serving God in a difficult place. But as I have gotten to know him over the years, I have been absolutely astounded at his abilities, both to preach and especially to write. This man obviously has a brilliant mind. This man is an excellent communicator. This man is an outstanding preacher in many ways. This man certainly is capable of pastoring a substantial congregation in almost any part of the United States, and here he is in an out-of-the-way place, and he would not be considered successful by the world. He would not be considered successful by most Christians and most churches and most pastors who are elbowing for a greater position and greater recognition, and he cares for none of that. But he is an outstanding servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in every way that I can tell. He is a good steward. He actually has some very outstanding abilities, and he is faithfully using them for the Lord in a very remote place where God has put him. Good for him. And that's really what I'm seeing here in the life of Gaius. Beloved, you are doing faithfully. And what is faithfulness? I've just talked about it a bit, but what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is obedience over an extended period of time. That's what it is. You want to know how to get the commendation for faithfulness? To hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How do I do that? How do I achieve this mark of faithfulness? By obedience over an extended period of time. In spite of difficulties and trials and unexpected impediments, just continued to be faithful, 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 faithful to the end. When I say over an extended period of time, I don't mean that the time comes where it's okay to stop being faithful. You knew I didn't mean that. But I mean that to be faithful, you have to be obedient over an extended period of time. There obviously never comes a time when it's okay to become disobedient. But being faithful is being obedient year after year, decade after decade, to the very end of your sojourn. Faithful to the end. The important thing is not how you begin, but how you end. You do know that, don't you? Many a Christian has begun well but ended poorly. The Apostle Paul even talked about his concern, his fear, I guess fear is not too strong a word, that in the end he might prove to be a castaway, that having preached the gospel to others, that he could falter and fail before he reached the end of his assignment. And he was concerned enough about that to mention it, and to be on guard against it. And of course, we know that in his case, he was faithful to the very end. Read about it. 2 Timothy is the last epistle he wrote, and you can read about the faithfulness that he continued to exercise right up until probably a few weeks before his execution. He talks about it. My departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. He was faithful to the end. But there were times in his life when he was conscious of the fact that it would be possible for him to fail before he reached the end. He knew others who did. Demas, he said, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And aren't all of us saddened and sickened by the number of preachers, the number of Christian workers that we know, who reached a point where they just said, I'm through, I'm done. And they turned their back on all that they had done over the years, and off they went into the world. I can remember how incredibly sad and sickened and disappointed and just shattered I was a few months ago when a man that I have known for many years and I were talking on the phone, and he told me that he'd been preaching in a certain area, and I said, oh, did you happen to run into my friend so-and-so while you were in that state, in that part of the state? And he paused for a long time. And then he said, well, you must not know, but he left his wife, left the church, left the ministry, went off with another woman. I couldn't hardly believe it. This is a man that I had known in university. That's how long I've known him. This is a man that I have admired in the ministry for his faithfulness for 40, well, let's see, it would have to be about 48 or 49 years now that he has been faithful in the ministry, and at this point in his life, he threw it all away. He is not a faithful man because he wasn't faithful to the end. Well, John is commending Gaius. Gaius isn't at the end yet, but John is commending Gaius for a man who is, up until this point, doing faithfully, practicing faithfulness. He is continuing to be faithful over a period of time. And that's what I want to be to the very end, and that's what I trust you want to be to the very end. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.